Please remain muted unless you are speaking. When speaking, please state your name before you comment. This supports our ASL interpreter participants joining by phone and individuals who will listen to the recording later. For those joining by phone, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six and raise or lower your hand by pressing star nine. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute and the raise hand feature, which is located under the reaction menu. When making comments, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports equitable access for all participants. A brief description may include closing or distinguished features. I'll provide a brief description of myself. I'm a Black female wearing a yellow shirt, glasses, and head wrap. At this time, I will read tonight's agenda. I will go ahead and share my screen.
Yes, I see it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at 4 o'clock, call to order, roll call, system-wide accessibility staff. At 4:05, review and approval agenda, prior meeting minutes by Chair Tino Calabria. At 4:10, Prince George's County Transit Vision, Semia Hackett. At 4:25, Summer 2026 Rail Construction and Shuttle Service, Jewel Bell, Assistant Chief Transportation Officer, Juan Lee, Director of Transportation Bus Operation, Bobby Gilchrist, Program Manager, Bus Operation. At 5 p.m., Wayfinding Discussion, Committee Discussion, Sandy Newsel, and Signage Subcommittee. At 5:45, Public Comment, 6 o'clock, Adjournment. I will stop sharing my screen now.
Okay.
Okay, I will proceed to the roll call. Please confirm your presence when I state your name. Susan Bowmaster.
Yes, I am here.
Danish Bush. Tino Calabria.
Present.
Unmuted.
Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Rick
I'm on
Waddell.
the phone. I'm sorry, I'm on 2184. I'm on my cell phone
All right.
today.
Thank you. Juan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Steve Coffin.
Present, and I'll need to leave around 5 o'clock.
All right. Thank you. Swatananda Kumar. Philippa Mizell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandra Nuzel.
Present.
Sarah Ra, thank you.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Semaphore. Patrick Sheehan. Thank you. Philip Weinstrom. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod. Oh, I got you twice. Thank you. Sorry about that. Mr. Chair, this concludes my roll call. You have now the floor. Have the floor, please.
Yes. Well, by the agenda, I gather we will review the agenda and adopt it. All in favor of adopting the agenda that was presented?
Tino, before that, this is Sandy Newsell. I'd like to make an adjustment to the agenda and let Prince George County have more time. They were given a fairly small time slot, and they're welcome to more time because on the wayfinding, we have far less than 45 minutes to present.
Yes, thank you, Sandy. Of course, we had a big project that went many meetings to cover what was happening or not happening in Prince George's County. So having the speaker have more time makes real sense. Thank you, Sandy. So with that amendment, do I hear a motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Second? Any seconds to the
I'll second, Tina.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Having all those ayes, the agenda as amended by Sandy is adopted. Okay, we'll proceed now. Next on the agenda
is approval of the minutes, Tino.
Oh, okay. The minutes for the May 11th meeting of the Bus Rail Subcommittee. The first item, Sandy referred to the MAAC project regarding bus stop signage to be placed on pavements as a pilot project in DC. Did you want to elaborate on that, Sandy?
No, I think people have read the minutes. They can. We're just voting to approve them.
Sure. Steve then discussed the meetings in which they are advertised as entertaining Q&As, and in particular, the general manager was scheduled to be present, but he had to be absent. And Steve observed that without the general manager, the Q&A session did not have many follow-up questions or remarks by the attendees. Let's see. Oh, it was mentioned that in regards to this item, Christy Benson might be helpful if she were to visit, and I guess we'll ask her to visit. The third item involved Sandy's discussion again with wayfinding and signage. Sandy, does that capture enough for the presentation of the minutes?
I think that's fine. People can refer to the minutes if they need more detail.
Sure. During the following discussion, the color of new buses came up, and there was some question as to whether the color really mattered that much. But Swatha said that as a low vision rider, it was important to her. There were other comments, but that, I think, covers the minutes for the May meeting. Do I hear a motion to adopt the minutes?
I motion to adopt the minutes as written.
And a second or seconds?
Second.
Okay. Now I ask for a vote to adopt the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 Hearing no objections, the May minutes of the Bus Rail Subcommittee are adopted. Next item on the agenda.
Transit Vision, the Prince George County. I'm not sure if
the next
step. We've invited Prince George County to speak about their any updates on their transportation vision plan.
Yes, we did. And we do have a representative, and as I mentioned before, at the urging of Denise, our member, of vice chair of the AAC, we took on a project to review the status of bus services in Prince George's County. And there was some mention that there are several bus deserts. And eventually, Prince George's County came up with a full report and did identify by name several bus deserts and what would be done to fill those deserts and what else was done with the existing bus service. Let's hear from the representatives of Prince George's County regarding the current status.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Ifon Epansi.
Yes, hi.
I'm a Black male wearing a Black jacket. So today I will be providing some updates about where we are with the Prince George's County Transit Vision Plan. We've shared a presentation. We shared a presentation with the committee so I'll read through the slides and then I'll make sure that we have enough time at the end of the presentation for questions and answers.
And thank you, Ifan. You've been with us several times and you've been very helpful in filling out where the bus deserts have been and what will be done in the future. We're waiting for the screen to show your presentation.
Okay.
I see it.
Great. Can we go to the next slide, please?
Okay.
Great. Just want to thank all the members of this committee for your support and your inputs as we went through the process in developing the Transit Vision Plan last year. So that process started in 2000 and about 2023, and we concluded in 2025. The Transit Vision Plan was adopted by the County Council in 2025. And so it is our official policy and planning guide on how we address transportation challenges and opportunities in the county. So this slide, it's a summary of what we've done since that plan was adopted last year. And this just tells you how much the county is moving forward with this implementation. Overall, we've seen quite a lot in terms of operational improvements and efficiency in the county. We've seen quite a growth in our ridership. On-time performance has increased from where it used to be. So we're making some progress. We're not where we need to be, but we've seen quite a lot of progress. We've also addressed quite a lot of issues with level of services in terms of quality of service, making sure that we reduce wait time at bus stops, but also provide better frequency service. We did this in collaboration with the WMATA team as part of the Beta Network, the Beta Bus Network redesign. So we work with our with WMATA team, and you know, put together a plan that we believe is working. It's well integrated in terms of Metro Bus in the county and where we provide local services. We've also addressed some of the issues that you mentioned about transit deserts in the county by providing enhanced accessibility, by providing and extending services. So we've extended the time where we start and close service to ensure that more people have access to transit. We redesign most of our routes to connect people to better, you know, to better connect people to opportunities. And this was done based on the surveys that we did, the market share, the market analysis that we also conducted as part of the transit vision plan. We've also expanded weekend service. So we started by really looking at the services that we provide, we provided on Saturday, and then looking at opportunities to better connect people, the type of riders that we were picking up on Saturdays. So we did that need assessment and then better align the service. In addition to that, we're extending service to full weekend service, not just Saturday. So we're going to be having Sunday service starting this summer. Sometime this month, we'll introduce Sunday service to address the areas of gaps that we notice as part of the transit vision plan. Next slide, please. One other thing that we saw as part of we noticed or observed as part of the study that we did, an analysis for the transit vision plan, was that we noticed a lot of folks had issues with accessibility, not just in terms of where the bus was going, but also in terms of the cost of transportation. And so the county worked really hard, and we now have a fare free policy across the board. So fixed route transit, our local fixed route transit is free to all the riders, visitors, and students. Everybody can ride the system free of charge. So we're now fare free. Our paratransit is also free, which is supplemental paratransit. We help cover some of the local gaps in terms of where people need to go in the county. And so this has really been an equity driven transit focus, where we really want to build that ridership base, but we also want to provide that opportunity for a lot of people in the county. And so our policy has really been one where access and opportunity has really is driving how we're moving forward with our transit.
If I could mention on this item, the ride-on bus service in Montgomery County is now free. Alexandria has been free. And now Prince George's has free fares. Does anyone else know of the other jurisdictions that we cover, whether other jurisdictions also have fare-free rides for their bus transit service? Anyone else? So hearing no, I guess it is, I think it was first Alexandria and then Montgomery County and now Prince George's. All three jurisdictions allow for free boarding on their bus transit service. Thank you, Yvonne. Next.
Great. Next slide, please. I just wanted to highlight a few things that the county is doing. We're taking some major planning initiatives that will help expand and enhance accessibility and reliability. So currently, we've instituted quite a lot of service changes as part of what we call our Transit Forward initiative. We're currently planning a major service change starting on June 14. And this is going to help expand mobility options for five routes where we're looking at enhancing how we deliver service, making some changes to the existing schedule. But also the core here is really providing better connectivity to our residents. We're also going to be expanding evening hours on some of the routes where we see demand as part of the service change in June, this June. And I will also introduce a new service within the New Hampshire corridor, again, to better connect our riders. We've also we're working to improve the customer experience, and this is something that I know a lot of members in this committee have mentioned and talked about in previous presentation, where they've asked for better bus stops and amenities. That's what we're doing to improve our rider experience. So there's a major program. Yeah, go ahead.
Yvonne, I see a side view of the passenger shelter. It may not be possible, but if it could you show us a front view as well?
It's not possible to show the front view,
Okay,
but we
fine.
can make updates to the slide and share that with the committee. Well, we can definitely make updates so that you can see the front view.
Okay, thank you, Yifan. Go ahead.
Great. So what we're doing to expand our rider experiences, we have a major program going on right now, which is bus stop improvements. So we're targeting about 25 of our major stops where we're installing bus shelters, we're putting in ADA ramp. We're doing quite a lot of work, site-specific improvements to improve our customer experience. And then the last piece is microtransit expansion. We're working with our vendor, VIA, to expand microtransit in the county. Currently, we've identified four zones where we really want to implement microtransit in the fall. And this would include Bowie, Hightsville, Clinton, and Laurel. So these are areas where we've identified as potential zones for microtransit. And for the just yeah, go ahead.
Yes, it's excellent. That's wonderful what you're doing. Continue.
And what we're trying to do with microtransit, we've really identified those areas in the county where, as you mentioned earlier, the transit deserts, where people don't have a lot of public transportation options. And so these are like the targeted areas and some of the communities where it's difficult for buses to serve. So with microtransit, we feel like we'll be better able to connect the residents to other opportunities. Next slide, please. Some members may know, we're also expanding our capital program to include to expand of our electric bus fleet and charging infrastructure. So we have about 14 new buses that we've received or we're currently receiving right now. And then we're also expanding our vehicle replacement program for next year and this current fiscal year to get better buses, low floor buses. Some of our buses are 15 years old, so we really try to accelerate to make sure that we can provide better services, a more reliable service with our bus replacement program. In addition, we're expanding our charging infrastructure so that we can accelerate our transition to zero emission buses and have a lot more electric buses. So
Great.
that is something that is important.
Go ahead.
I've also mentioned the bus stop improvement. I already mentioned that. So this is something that will be ongoing. So right now we're focusing on 25 stops, but again, the goal here is that we just do not want to do 25 and then stop. So this is becoming a recurring capital improvement program. So every single year we'll identify funding for bus stops improvement until we can go through and make sure that we're in a good place in terms of our bus stops. Next slide, please. This year, the bus will be turning 35 years, so over 3 decades of service. So we're planning to also celebrate that and really turn a new chapter in terms of our services to the public. So I just wanted to mention that it's a long way forward for us, and so we're really happy to celebrate with our customers and then look at how we're charting the future, working with our customers to chart the future so that we can provide better bus services and supplement a lot of the regional and the what matter services in the county. Next slide, please. So with us turning 35 years, there's going to be a few changes in terms of, like, I want to call it a rebrand or a refresh. So you'll see new logos on the different types of services that we provide. For example, you'll see Go PGC. Which is again going to be a little surprise on how we're reframing that conversation about bus services in Prince George's County. And then we have the PGC Link, which is our microtransit. So before we used to call it as we transition, the new name will be PGC Link, but you see the new logo, the name is PGC Link, but you see a new logo, which kind of translate on how we're moving forward. And then you have the Express, which is our future bus BRT service. And then we have Plus, the Plus service, which will replace Colorbus, which is our complementary paratransit services. So these new logos will, we'll call, we're going, once we launch our 25 our 35 years anniversary, you will see some changes with our design and logos. Just wanted to put that out there. And then the last thing here is just this is again the final wrap. This is how the buses are going to be looking like as we go through this transition. So just wanted to share this and just get a view of this. And this is the last slide. I'm here to take questions, and I'll be happy to talk more about some specific areas of concerns or needs that a committee may have.
Thanks, Efan. And there are hands up. Can we take them in order of the hands going up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have Vanessa Coles followed by Tuan Farmer. Vanessa Coles followed by Tuan Farmer.
Yes, thank you. Hi. Middle-aged African American female. My hair is turned back, set it back, and I have on a blue t-shirt. So my question is to Mr. Blake or those that are they able to answer the question concerning, since the bus service is free now and our trips are based on two times the trips cost of the bus, how is that going to affect the cost for our Metro Access trip? Because I have to pay $4.50 just to go across the street to my physical therapy, and that's always been a bone of contention with me. So since the bus is not charging anymore, how is that going to affect my rate if Mr. Blake is on the line?
Yes, good afternoon. Oops. I am here. You might be hearing that echo. I hope you still can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Mr.
Blake. I'm kind of muffled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Christian Blake here, African-American male, Vice President of Access Services, Metro Access. Great question, Ms. Coles. The answer is we do take into consideration the Prince George's County free bus in consideration of the Metro Access fare. So what that means is if a Prince George's County bus route is your fastest fixed route equivalent trip, which means it can't likely include a rail because rail is faster than bus, and it has to go somewhere likely Metro is not going, then your trip on Metro Access would be free of charge. And in fact, we have a lot of trips in Prince George's County on Metro Access currently free of charge because the bus is the fastest fixed route equivalent fare for their particular trip. So it has been and will continue to have a role in the fares of Metro Access paratransit trips that originate in Prince George's County.
Okay, I'll test it.
You know, I don't want to take up your time in this important meeting. And he was talking, you're right, Mr. Chairman, you're talking about the fixed route bus services, but I like to take a little pride that one of the first ones that started in this region was, in fact, the Abilities Ride program to show that free transit in some aspects can be a feasible option.
Audio now unmuted. Next.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tino. Mr. Farmer here, African-American male, gray polo shirt. This is a very quick three-part. First, I wanted to acknowledge to our speaker the introduction of buses that are being provided by electricity, since I'm a big proponent of renewable energy, electrical use, clean production of power. Thank you very much. As that starts to grow, that's going to be continue to be an amazing addition to how we provide service around the DMV. Regarding electric bus service. Now to my question. One is about microtransit and the other is about the bus in Prince George's County. And I know that we have the bus and we have Metro Bus. So let's, just for clarification, the Metro Bus service will be free in Prince George's County. Can you speak on whether or not that will include the bus as well as part of the free bus service? That's the first question.
Well, can I clarify? I don't believe
yes.
Metro bus is going to be free. I believe Prince George's County, the bus is free.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the clarification
that's,
I wanted
that's
to
correct.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. That clarifies that Definitively. So it is the bus that will be free within Prince George's County, not the Metro buses that run in Prince George's County. Okay. The second question relates to microtransit. This is more so about ensuring the visibility on microtransit. Is that information regarding microtransit, how it works, and its availability available on the WMATA website? And will there be an expansion in, just kind of presenting that product as an option to travelers in these markets within Prince George's County?
I cannot speak to whether that information will be on the WMATA website, but what we plan to do is to make the information widely available to the residents and our traveling public. What we really want to achieve with microtransit is to make sure that people can utilize microtransit within the zones. We want it to be high ridership. We really want to go in there and make sure that people utilize it. So this is not a service where we're trying to provide microtransit to just a segment of the population. It is going to be an open system, shared rights and provided resources, and then we'll see how it goes from there. So we will make that information widely available to the residents, to the traveling public. We will share the information with WMATA as need be. And if WMATA wants to put it out there in different formats so that residents and the traveling public knows about the service, that will be fine with us. So it's not going to be restricted.
Wonderful. Only speaking on behalf of the organization outside of the Metro Accessibility Advisory Committee that we speak for, I'm hoping that we will be able to, as a part of outreach, be able to get you on our calendar as part of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland Greater Prince George's County chapter to talk a little bit more about that in detail, possibly in the upcoming meeting, maybe if not until the fall. Well, I'll reach out to you offline.
Great.
Right.
Thank you very much, Tino.
Yes, you're welcome.
Sarah Wright is next, followed by Sandy Newsom. Sarah Wright is next, followed by Sandy Newsom.
Sorry, took a second. Yes, I want to say thank you for the presentation. And Tawan, I liked that idea. I think it would be great if WMATA could get information, maybe not on the website, but linked to some of the surrounding jurisdictions and how people could use those buses to get further afield. That would be a nice piece of information to have out there. But my actual question was more about the microtransit, which I just find this concept fascinating. And I was wondering if you could give us a little more granularity on how you are envisioning this is going to work. You mentioned a few things about shared ride. But can you give us anything more about what the plans are specifically for how it's going to work in those different areas? Thanks.
Yes, I can provide some high-level information on how we'll envision microtransit. And just before I do that, I just want to note that we currently have a zone around Oxon Hill where we provide microtransit, and we've been doing that from the time, I think 2022, if I'm not mistaken. And it hasn't met our I'll say the current format that will provide microtransit hasn't been the best based on our experience. So we're gonna go out and do a new model, which we'll hire a private company and they will provide the vans and help us design the zones. We know the zones, but it's not gonna be something that the county will be performing the day-to-day service. So we really want it to be successful because we're going to be paying quite a lot of money for a private company to run the service, to supply the drivers and the vehicles. And so that's really the nutshell of what we're trying to do here. So it's not going to be a situation where, we'll be having issues with drivers. They'll have to figure out how to get their drivers, how to cover their trips. We have very clear performance, requirements that we've put in our contract with a private company and related deliverables in terms of how we measure how many minutes from when somebody requests a service to when the vehicle pick them up, and also requirements to avoid people being on the vehicle for extended period of time. So we've really come up with some very good performance definitions to help expedite and make sure that the service is well delivered.
That's excellent. Thank you. And I forgot to say, I'm a middle-aged white female wearing a black sweater and a white shirt. And I'm very excited to see what happens in Laurel. I grew up there and still have family and friends in the area. So thanks.
Sandy Newzel, Caucasian senior female with a purple cast. And I have purple hair to match my purple cast today and for the next month or two. So the microtransit, I'm going to tag along and add a question following up on Sarah. Is this company going to be providing something similar to paratransit, or is it just for people who can get on and off a vehicle totally functionally on their own, or will there be driver assistance in the microtransit? That's the first question. Then I have a couple more.
Good question.
It's going to be a curb to curb service. That's how we've defined it. But we're also providing accessible vehicles, so that folks with disabilities or who cannot utilize regular vans will have those accessible vehicles. It's gonna be a same day service, so you don't have to make that reservation 1 day or 2 days. When you need the service within that zone, the service will be available to you within the operating period. So those are some of the things that we're trying to make sure that we do to help provide better accessibility to the residents and customers.
Okay, so that's great. Next topic, and this is getting down in the weeds a little bit. You mentioned logos, new refresh. And because I can't see your slides because of my vision, could you clarify to me whether there was going to be a separate logo for the bus, the microtransit, and you named about four different sort of transportation situations. Was each one of those going to have its own separate recognizable logo?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll have a separate logo for the bus. We'll have a separate logo for color bus. A separate logo for microtransit, and then a separate logo for our BRT system that we're planning and trying to bring online.
So another question, because I don't quite understand all the details of this, and maybe this is too deep in the weeds, but will some of those systems have bus stop sign locations, but not all of them? Like, is if the microtransit is sort of on demand, curb to curb, I assume that doesn't have any bus stop signs. How many of these will have signage that people are looking to pair, go stand by a bus stop to get whatever transportation, just the bus service?
I think there are a lot of opportunities for us to do what they call virtual stops. So if you have accessibility issues or choose to be at a particular bus stop to make that request, I think will have the opportunity to work out for such details. But we've not put the service into operations yet. I think there are going to be a lot of things that we do not plan for that will come up, but we're very amenable to make it work for the customers. This has been it's really a priority for our county executive, and she really wants to make sure that it's very accessible. And so some of the conversations that we've had with our senior leadership is to really make sure that this new service that we put out there is 100% accessible and equitable. And so we'll work with the customers to put out virtual stops, make special arrangement if we have to pick folks at certain bus stops. So we're very open to that.
I'm just thinking of the parallel when there's multiple bus lines going through one stop, there's different numbers or, route names, but it sounds like you might compound that with, different logos for different types of transportation. A complex issue. I wish you luck making it really clear to the riders. I mean, that's the end goal, is that the riders can use this easily. And then you mentioned a wrap for your new electric bus look. Will that sort of also be the same or different for some of these other transportation systems? I'm just again trying to think of rider recognition to identify the correct vehicle to get into.
I think it's going to be distinct, but it's still a process. We're working on the logos. We have the final draft that we're going to be putting out there, testing, talking to some of our customers, and reaching out to certain folks to give us feedback on how we can make it look better and make it look recognizable based on the type of service. That is still a process that is going on. So I really cannot give you kind of a definitive answers to that. But I know that for the wraps, what is going to fit a BLT system, which could be an articulated bus, may not be the same for a van, which we'll use for microtransit, or a 35 or 40 footer bus for fixed route service. So the different types of vehicles will come. I mean, the wrap is probably going to look different based on vehicle type and service type as well.
Okay, great. Thanks for your answer. You're clearly trying to wrestle with a lot of problems ahead of time to make this work well. Thank you.
Just for the record, Sandy headed up our project about 2 years ago, the project of exploring what was going on in Prince George's County and what needed to be done in cooperation with Yifan and his staff. Thank you, Sydney. Sandy, thank you. Next.
Mr. Chair, Patrick Sheehan is next. Patrick.
Good. I guess I'm on. Thank you. Very impressive, sir, the what you've given us today. You've definitely got a lot going on. I agree with what Sandy just said. So a couple of maybe things I might have missed. The contract for the microtransit, is that contract out yet? And there'll be one sort of call-in center for the five areas or five different call-in centers? That's one question.
We'll have a customer service number where, just one customer service number where if you have any issues, you can call
And
and
schedule or whatever. Yeah.
yes,
That's good.
yes.
Okay, good. I don't want to pin you down too much because I'm really excited about this. So yeah, I think it's great. Another area that I remember when I read the Vision Transit Plan, let's say a year ago, you were going to be working on sidewalk installation and also lighting for the bus stops. Is that how that process is going for the bus stops? When you picked where they're going to be, putting in sidewalks and lighting. Beautiful.
Yes. So the way we're doing the bus stop improvement is once we select a site, we want to do a comprehensive improvement, make sure that there's connectivity in terms of the path, look at issues or opportunities for crosswalk, and how we also ensure that the sidewalks, they fit the county's urban design standards. So it's going to be comprehensive. In some areas, we're going to install lighting. In some areas, we're going to do solar lights. So that's what we're doing. As you know, there may be, challenges in terms of doing everything that we want to do, because some communities, they're resistant to certain things. They probably don't want a particular crosswalk at a certain location.
Really?
And then we have areas where we want to put in a sidewalk, but we do not have the right of way. And so it is, as much as we really want to do a perfect job, a lot of stuff is contingent on the situation, the site-specific needs, as well as some other constraints that may be beyond our control.
I understand. Yeah, that is a complicated situation, particularly with sidewalks. Which I'd love to have, and lighting also. My last question was with respect to, you said you were putting together, I think, a paratransit system, which be, I suppose, would be complementary to WMATA's Metro Access. Am I correct?
Or did yes, I we it? Already have a paratransit system in the county. It is called Qualibus, which is complementary or supplementary paratransit. It's not ADA. Paratransit as the like the service that Metro Access provides, where we just provide just supplementary paratransit service. So WMATA provides the ADA comprehensive, paratransit service. We just support or fill the gaps.
Supplementing.
Yes, correct.
I'll just say that based on where we were, let's say 2 years ago, before Don Drummer got involved and we got together on this, you guys have hit a lot of the boxes that we brought up that we wanted to see movement on. And between the buses, the sidewalks, the lighting, all the infrastructure stuff, the microtransit, and everything's not perfect, building out the sidewalks and everything like that. But I'm thrilled that you're making this kind of progress. This is the kind of information I like to bring before the board. This is really well done. Thanks. So I think, Tino, I would imagine any support that you need, sir, from a bus rail and certainly from the full committee, you've got it.
Indeed. It started, by the way, with Denise Rush, and then was taken over by Sandy, and she and those who work with her did a fine job, and EFON has carried through very well. Thank you, EFON. Any other questions? Seeing that there are no other questions, then, EFON, thank you again for the superb work that you've been doing, and good luck in the future in contracting with any services needed, getting new bus shelters in place and that sort of thing. Again, thank you. And now we can turn to the next item on the agenda.
Thank you, Tino, and thanks. I just also want to thank the committee. We know it's not been an easy ride, but we really appreciate all the comments and some of the stuff that you guys put together, put in front of us as action item, really help guide us in how we plan and started thinking about how we can make our services better. So we really appreciate all the support that we've received from the committee members, some of your questionings as well. So thank you very much.
And thank you. And we'll highlight those remarks in our record. It's been fabulous from when we started to what you're doing and what you projected doing in the future. It's really great. Thank you, Ifan. Next item.
The summer shutdown 2026. I mean, the summer to 2026 rail construction and shuttle service.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
I'm sorry. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So good evening, everyone, and thank you for inviting us to present this afternoon. I'm Joel Bell. I'm the Assistant Chief Transportation Officer for Bus at WMATA. I am a African-American female with braids in her hair, black glasses, a tan jacket, and a black shirt. I have two WMATA representatives in the room who will introduce themselves, and they will go on to present, and I am here to support with any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm Juwan Lee, Direct Service Director for Bus Street Operations. I'm an Asian male, short hair, wearing a gray blazer and a light blue shirt and dark blue pants.
And good afternoon, everyone. Bobby Gilchrist, Program Manager, Bus Operations Service Quality. A black male with short salt pepper hair, wearing a tan and blue shirt and brown trousers.
So we are here today to present our 2026 summer shutdown, shuttle service. The shuttle service will begin July 6th and it goes through September 6th. I do want to note that September 7th is Labor Day Monday, so the shutdown is only through that Sunday before Labor Day. The shutdown is between Friendship Heights and North Bethesda on the Red Line. We'll be running an express service connecting Friendship Heights directly to North Bethesda, and we'll also be running a local service connecting all the stations in between. And with that, I can hand over to Bobby to go through the specifics for each station.
What you see before you are the affected stations, starting at North Bethesda, which is an open station, going down to Grosvenor Medical Center and Bethesda. These are the closed stations. Grosvenor Medical Center and Bethesda are the closed stations. Customers can resume rail service at Friendship Heights en route to Glenmont. Those dotted lines you see represent the express route. The solid line represents the local service. Next slide. The first affected station is North Bethesda. If you look at your map, the alighting, say a customer gets on at Friendship Heights, the station that he can alight at to end the shuttle trip is at Bus Bay D going northbound. This is where customers will alight and resume rail service if necessary. Directly across the street is for boarding. If you're going southbound toward Friendship Heights, the customers would board at Bus Bay C. This is the first bus bay at the corner of Marinelli and Wisconsin Avenue. We did relocate the ride-on to accommodate this service. The 5, 26, 41, and 101 went to the rear of the bus bay. So the metro service is at the front of the bus bay, and the ride-on service was relocated to the rear of the bus bay C. Same thing with the 42 and 81 at bus bay B. There's no layover and staging at North Bethesda. This is an on-street service. There is no service loop at Bethesda. We are servicing customers on the street at Wisconsin and Marinelli. Next slide. The first closed station is Grosvenor. Going southbound, we will service in the loop. This is the only service that is in a service loop. All other stops are on the street. The service loop is Bus Bay F. Bus Bay F inside the Grosvenor service loop for any southbound travel. But going northbound is Bus Bay L. We're servicing on the street. This is a little cutout on Wisconsin Avenue. It's a cutout outside or near the Wisconsin Avenue corridor. This is where we will do on-street operations going northbound toward North Bethesda. No relocations. We will lay over in stage buses on Tuckerman Lane, and at bus bays inside the loop ADH and J. Next slide, please. The next closed station is Bethesda Station. Excuse me. Medical Center. I stand corrected. The next closed station is Medical Center. Going northbound, on-street operations is on Rockville Pike at Wood Road. This is right outside of the hospital, the medical center. It's about 50 feet going northbound from the hospital entrance. Going southbound, we will operate on the street, on the station side. This is on the station side of the street. No service relocations, no layover or staging at Medical Center. Next slide, please. The third and final closed station is Bethesda Station. We will service the northbound on Wisconsin at East-West Highway. This is on a corner of, this is considered a temporary stop just to accommodate this service. This is actually across the street from the station. Going northbound, we will service northbound at Wisconsin and East-West Highway. Going southbound, we will service at Wisconsin and Montgomery Avenue. This is on the station side of the street. There are no relocations, layover, or staging at this closed station. Next slide, please. Friendship Heights, a lot going on at Friendship Heights. If you notice to the right there, you'll see at Wisconsin and Western, you'll see both services, the express going northbound and the local going northbound. Customers will board here going in the northbound direction. To the left at Wisconsin and Western, as the southern trip is completed, the service will make a right on Western, and that little oval shape is the bus stop. So it will not drop off at Wisconsin and Western. It will make the turn off of Wisconsin onto Western, and about 50 feet there is the temporary bus stop for lighting for the southbound travel. The layover and staging is at the 5300 block of Wisconsin Avenue, and we'll also do meal breaks at this location at the old Lord and Taylor's WMATA lot. If you're familiar with Lord and Taylor, we have taken over that lot to lay over and conduct street operations in that lot. Next slide. These are the folks that are generally on call, primarily myself and Arthur Chandler. We're generally on site. Everyone else is generally on call. Next slide. You may know Montgomery County has laid out about 8 miles of bus dedicated lanes. So this will significantly enhance the service. Starting northbound from Marinelli to Grosvenor, southbound from from Strathmore to Eason, the southern part of Widmont to Hampton, to Western Avenue southbound, western to Rosedale Avenue northbound. If I can summarize this, from Friendship Heights down to North Bethesda is mostly dedicated bus lane. The only segment that's kind of not bus dedicated is the area at Medical Center from Woodmont to Grosvenor. Outside of that, we have bus dedicated lane, which would significantly improve the service. Next slide, please. That's it. I'm open for any questions.
Yes, thank you. This is Tino Calabi, the chair. I'm familiar with the stops that you've described. And I must admit, with the way things are at the moment, even apart from the construction disruption, it's very difficult to locate where the different buses are to go to different areas. With respect to what you've just described, will there be any kind of paper that will be distributed at those stations? More than that, will there be any temporary staff that will be in the stations to help answer questions that riders may have of where the bus is now to be?
Absolutely. There will be on-site staff at every affected station. At each affected station, correct, yes. At each affected station, all five stations will have staff at every station.
Throughout the operating day?
Throughout the service period and every day from the 6th of July to the 6th of September, there will be staff. It is a combination of WMATA and contractor staff will be at each affected station.
In addition, will there be any kind of paper handout of some of these things that you've shown in slides?
Yes, you'll see the outreach staff come out. They generally will pass out brochures explaining the reason why we're doing the shuttle, how long it's going on, and any other type of information that would help the customer navigate their trip.
And they generally, they can give away this paper information to a rider who asks?
They generally come out in advance. They'll come out even before the actual project starts, and they'll be able to answer any questions. And we also have bilingual outreach staff to talk to anyone that may be a language barrier. So they'll come out generally about a week or two prior to the 6th of July and start passing those same brochures out. And then they'll continue to pass them out as the project starts.
Thank you. The next hand raised.
Yes, we have Ms. Jo Bell.
So thank you. And thank you for that, Bobby. So I just want to clarify that in addition to the staff on site, the documents that will be given out will also have the established signage out that'll direct people to the different bus stops and locations. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Okay. In addition to that, the rail staff will also be knowledgeable. So at the two terminal stations, they'll be able to help guide and direct passengers to the appropriate locations to catch the shuttle.
You mean at the operator's booth at the top of escalators? The operator?
Yeah, the station managers, yeah. Right.
Yes, okay, great, thank you. Next question.
Sandy is next.
Sandy?
Sandy Newzel, I'm going to ask some of the questions, hopefully enough in defense and to help the wheelchair users. So I'm a little bit familiar with the Friendship Heights station, and the elevator there is across a street and, I don't know, a half a block or away from the main bus bay areas that are at the top of the escalators. So how, and I don't know about the north end, the station at the far end, I'm not familiar with that one, but first of all, will the shuttle buses going back and forth between the stations be able to accommodate wheelchair users? And secondly, will the buses or whatever vehicle is transporting wheelchair users be able to drop people near the elevators to get back down into, or when they come up out of the metro system? Thank you.
Yes, we have transit buses that will be ideal to accommodate any customers using wheelchair. And we generally will have them strategically placed so that we can cover, you know, all five stations. In other words, let's say we have, I don't know, 10 transit buses. We generally will have five going northbound and five going southbound as an example of having them strategically inserted into the rotation.
Additionally, all our buses are required to be ADA compliant, so they will all have wheelchair lifts. But also our stop locations such that they are close to the station elevators.
This is Sarah, if I can follow up on that just a little. In the past, I know sometimes when you have buses running, they have been coach buses and not metro buses, and then they weren't wheelchair accessible. Are you saying that all of the things that are running back and forth are all going to be accessible in this case?
So I'll take that. So as Jawan mentioned, yes, all of the buses, including the contract buses, are required to be ADA accessible. And just also want to mention that there is a mixture on the weekends of the contract buses and metro buses that will be running. So of course, all the metro buses are wheelchair accessible, but the contract buses are required as well.
Good.
Thank you.
Vanessa Cole is next, please.
Yes, thank you. So I'm representing the visually impaired and blind. So how will they be notified? Will you guys do a PBS or some type of announcement notifying them? Because I have lots of friends that take the transit system, bus system. So how will they be notified?
And just for a clarifying question, are you speaking of notified of the shuttle that's going to occur overall, or just where the buses are that they can actually catch?
Well, they need to, you know, you're shutting down stations. So in advance, everybody, it's not a lot of people on this line that would know that. So my question is, how will you notify the public? Because some of them are visually impaired. They do ride the bus. And I have some blind friends that ride the bus in Montgomery County. So how would they be notified or any changes?
So thank you for that. So this actually has been running on the news networks. It has been running on radio stations. And if it's not already there, it will be on WMATA's platforms. So this is actually something that's been advertised as we're coming up on this.
So people are already aware, because I don't use the transit system. I usually take Metro Access into that county, but I'm just curious. Thank you for that answer.
Yes, ma'am.
Next question.
Mr. Chair, there's no more hand raised, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, we look forward to the preparation for the changes that you've discussed. I do hope there are accessible buses, but also staff throughout the day, in many cases with information on paper that a rider can take away with them. Thank you for your presentation. Next item.
Oh, Tino?
Yes. Tino?
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave now, but I'd like to get something quickly in the minutes. And that's, you know, accentuating the extraordinary contribution of Ms. Rush, Denise Rush, in getting to where we all are with respect to the actually the extraordinary presentation we just saw from Prince George's County staff and management. In fact, you remember almost, I'd say, every three or four meetings she would raise, you know, these kinds of issues. And in fact, one, I think you and I've talked about this. One Friday night, I get a call from her, and I didn't know her phone number. I get a call, I happen to pick it up, and it's, she said, can you come out tomorrow? Because we're talking a lot about, you know, about these issues, but I need somebody to see it and write it down and document it. Yes. And you know, as you know, you don't say no to Ms. Rush. So Saturday morning I went out. She had her car available, and you and I've talked about this a while
yes.
back. And for the next 5 hours, we rode around all over the county, documenting bus stops and shelters that weren't there, and trees that covered stops, like you've mentioned in Bethesda. And at the end of the day, you know, we documented this, if you remember, as an attachment to the minutes. And it had to do with the perseverance of Ms. Rush. So I'm saying this now so we make sure to get these in the upcoming minutes.
Indeed, I abbreviated my gratitude to her earlier, but I'm glad you were more explicit with some of the details about working with her, trying to launch or to get Prince George's County to launch the project, which has just been described to us in process and in results and forecasting for the future what will be done.
Yeah, if there was one word to describe it, it would be perseverance. I think.
Yes. Well, Steve, thank you for cooperating with Denise.
No, it's not me. It's not me. I just want to be sure that when we write up the minutes, she's duly recognized for being kind of a pioneer in this.
Yes. Thank you for making sure that that happens. And I'm sure the minutes will reflect that. I know you have to go now. Have a good flight or wherever you're going. And thank you for adding those comments. Next item on the agenda.
The wayfinding discussion committee discussion, Sandy Nuzel and signage subcommittee.
So this is Sandy Nuzel. So the wayfinding and signage working group, basically, I'm just going to say that we're sort of waiting for results, feedback from Metro staff. I believe, if I remember the dates correctly, bathroom signage will be presented, or I think it's in July. L'Enfant signage has been postponed. The rollout has been postponed till this fall, but we're waiting an explanation of why that is. And then discussion that the wayfinding, excuse me, the signage working group passed along some questions and concerns to WMATA staff, and Sam Sarabin is going to give us some answers, and I'm waiting on that. Unless Sam is in the room or has presented something that I didn't catch.
I don't know, he's not.
Okay. All right. So we're just waiting on feedback from WMATA on several fronts.
Sandy, just for the record and the minutes, could you mention some of the things that we're waiting for?
I thought I just had. You want me to go into more detail?
If you could.
Okay, so well, the bathroom signage has been postponed for several months. Presentation, the AAC committee, I think, would just like an update on where things stand. An interim report would be great before the final report, but if we have to wait for the final report, we have to wait for the final report, I guess. But I think it was back in December that Sarah Myers pointed out that bathrooms are available, or excuse me, exist in many metro stations because the staff can use them. In the older stations, they aren't readily available to the public without asking. And whether those are ADA accessible is being examined before they're made more easily available to the public. In the newest stations, there are bathrooms that are easily accessible. They're ADA compliant. It's a cinch to use them. So it's everything in between. Non-accessible bathrooms that really can only be used by Metro staff and the public really can't get to them, all the way up to easily available. So sort of a tally, eventually a map or some indication where these are. But Metro, I think, is working, wants to give us the final story rather than, you know, and we would just appreciate an interim story. But anyway, the last I heard, I believe it's July, we'll get an update or a report. On the L'Enfant signage rollout back in, I also believe that was December, we heard about a sort of a new signage plan. And then in, I think it was February or March, the signage working group of about 10 of us met with WMATA staff, and they gave us some of their visions for signage. The goal is to try to bring back uniformity in signage throughout all of the metro rail stations, because over the years, over 50 years that we're celebrating this year, little differences have crept in the style of signs, the size of the fonts, the layouts, what is explained. And of course, you know, new signage has been introduced, digital signage, and just the way the signs are made, and the information that they're trying to convey about where to go within the station and where what you would find at the exits as you exit the station. Anyway, L'Enfant Plaza, one of the most complicated metro rail stations in the whole system, because it has five rail lines going through there and at least three exits, I think four if you count the elevator. It's a big challenge. It's two, three levels depending on how you look at it. Anyway, they were going to have, their plan is to have a complete sign refresh and get feedback from the public after they roll those out, and then get approval from the board that this is good to go, and then use that as the template for signage throughout the entire metro rail system stations. So originally that rollout was hoped for in April. It got pushed back to June. It's now been pushed back to the fall. And at the very least, the signage working group would appreciate an interim, like, why is this being pushed back? Is it contractor issues? Is it supply chain issues? Is it funding issues that they need to roll it into the next year? You know, just, you know, an answer to why it's being rolled back would be appreciated. But some of the questions we've asked Sam Sarabin are how to make the signage the most accessible to the most people, including people with disabilities, how to make best ways to make exit signage for, you know, people who are using wheelchairs or people who are hauling luggage, where are the elevators and what will this elevator take you to when you get out to the real world? The wayfinding station ahead, new design. You know, yes, there are station ahead signs on the walls in some stations, but not all stations. They've sort of disappeared from some stations and reappeared. And some station ahead wayfinding signs are in vertical lists on platform center pylons or square, those square things. I think those are the ones called pylons. In some stations, you can find station ahead diagrams. I call them snail's trails, with the color of the line and then the list of all of the stations beside those lines on big round pillars in places like L'Enfant Plaza. Today I saw them on the lower platform. I can't remember if I've seen them in Metro Center recently, but there's different signage designs, and we tried to give some feedback on what would we envision would work well. And we've also asked, could we reach out to some of our disability groups to ask them, even in, you know, can you, what type of sign would work well for you? And of a special concern is that Metro suggested that signs could be read from the bottom to the top, as opposed to from the top to the bottom, where all vertical signs now read from top to bottom. You're at this station that's at the top, and as you advance along that line, you move down through the list of stations. So to flip-flop it 180 degrees and start reading from the bottom to the top is a big shock, because many of us think of those as a diagram, which is so similar to a list of stations, that our brains automatically want to read from top to bottom, like we would read text on a page. So we would like to be able to reach out to disability groups, people with vision impairment, people with cognitive issues, people in wheelchairs. You know, a wheelchair's rider's eye level at the bottom, I don't know which way they would want to read the sign. But neurocognitive issues, to suddenly read from the bottom to the top, to understand that a diagram reads a different way than you've been reading, than your brain sort of automatically goes to. So those are the questions we've posed. And I think, you know, it should be an open discussion back and forth. And I'd like to see as much information and feedback as possible from disability groups to be able to chime in earlier rather than later. But, you know, I think that sums it up pretty well. Let's see if there's one more. I think I covered it.
Miriam.
Okay, well,
Patrick wants to add something.
Yeah, I'd like to say something. Not going to be nearly as cordial as Sandy was. Do we have anyone from the sign group here?
No.
No, not from the working group, from WMATA.
No, they're not here.
So at my last meeting at the AAC, we were told we would wait a week and we'd get an update at this meeting.
Right.
So I'm waiting for the update.
We're still waiting.
So I need to have a reason why we're told one thing and we don't get the update at this meeting. Hang on, Tino.
Yeah.
When I go before the board, I have highlighted this project for the last 2 or 3 months. And when I am told that I'm going to get an update, I want to be able to report that to the board. I don't want to have to go to the board of directors and say that I was promised an update at the June 8th meeting at the end of June and, you know, put the system-wide accessibility group in a bad position because we don't have any information. I don't care if the information, as Sandy said, is not complete. An interim progress report, there's all kinds of reasons why things get delayed. But when this committee asks for information and is promised information, we expect that information. So I'd like that taken back to leadership. And let's see if we can get a piece of that information back to this committee, subcommittee committee, before I have to go to the board at the end of June.
Patrick, I'm sorry. Sam has sent out an email around 3:34 today, and it goes as follows. Anthony has completed his review, and pending one answer of all the responses are good to be shared. Please note that Anthony added a column where he had minor editing to what I drafted. Please use this version. There is one outstanding question related to share the test question in advance. Anthony is following up with Ray, our customer research expert, and I will have an update on that shortly. I believe he might share something with Maggie, because on this email there was nothing attached, but he referred to as he attached some document. So since Maggie is out, she might have some information she will share with you probably.
Okay, I have a couple things to say to that. One, that's 25 minutes before this meeting begins. I was on my way here.
Right.
I don't know if other members of this subcommittee had time to be able to read that. And second, that is not a discussion. So I would want him or somebody else in the department to be able to come before this subcommittee and present it to us so that we can ask questions. So that's not sufficient.
Sorry.
And that is not the way I like information to come before this committee.
Right.
Thank you, Patrick. We hear that your earnestness has been communicated to them before. I'm happy that you are continuing to be concerned and are willing to state it to the board again, which will then be shared with the proper staff. You're right. We shouldn't have to be asking and waiting, asking and waiting, asking and waiting. Thanks, Patrick. You've been great at trying to obtain the information from us. It may be tiresome for you to have to repeat it, but your report, next report to the board, I hope, again, you can summarize what we've been looking for some time and not being given a response. Thank you, Patrick, for emphasizing that. And your patience may be wearing thin, but ours also. Thank you, Patrick. Any further comments on that, Sandy?
Well, I got the email I had from Maggie was around 1 o'clock today that, you know, she hoped there'd be something soon. But given what Miriam said, that some email transferred from one place to another, I certainly hope that will be shared with the AAC or at the very least the signage working group very, very soon. Thank you.
Thank you again, Sandy, and thank you, Patrick, very much. Next item, Mary.
Is public comment at this time?
Are there any public comment, any members of the public that have waited to ask their questions or provide their information?
Janice is next.
Janice?
Yes.
Janice Samuels?
Yes, hello. This comment isn't directly related to bus and rail, and we've brought up this topic before, but when retail establishments or other organizations, brick and mortar organizations, would like to have a pickup and drop off signage, sidewalk signage tent to indicate where Metro paratransit and rideshare should pick up and drop off their passengers. Is it permissible for them to replicate Metro branding on that signage? That would be something that would be recognizable to drivers and passengers.
Christian is still with us?
I am here.
Yeah, okay. There's... Yes. Christian?
Chris, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Is silence consent?
Christian. Is he going to mute?
So this is Sandy. May I make a comment? Janice, this is an excellent point. While Mr. Blake isn't answering, or maybe he's not available, mm-hmm. I've also asked for, would it be possible to put addresses into the database that Metro Access uses for pickup and drop-off locations? And if they could have a sign at a brick and mortar plaza where to drop you off and give that an address, that would be wonderful. I think we should also have addresses for, you know, Metro Rail stations, because there are times that I'm somewhere and I'm headed home at rush hour and it can be faster to go home on Metro Rail. So if I get part of my journey on a Metro Accessibilities ride to a Metro station, I have to look that address up every single time. There's not only the signage out in public, but a better database within the call center would be helpful.
I would second that.
I apologize.
Oh, there he is. Christian?
Let me try this. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I apologize. What I was saying is I will check with Dr. Butler and the team of communications in terms of allowable use of WMATA's logo, or a sign could just be Metro Access if that's what the desire would be. I would just give one thing, maybe we could talk about it next week a little more or at some point in the future. There's a lot of times there has been discussions about uniform bus or stops for Metro Access at a particular location. And we're happy to try that. I remember when the library in Silver Spring, we put up a sign there for a Metro Access stop. But just keep in mind, while many of you may use the stop that is quote unquote designated, Metro Access generally doesn't designate, because as a door-to-door provider, the customer is technically being allowed to choose the stop. And we make the presumption that the choice of the customer is based on their individual accessibility. So if you're going to Pentagon City Mall, instead of Metro Access designating a location, we generally allow customers. But if Pentagon City Mall wants to put up a sign where we can go, that's great, but that may not always be the pickup location based on what an individual customer's desire would be.
Understood. Now, I'm speaking of a specific, if you're going to a specific brick and mortar, you know, I'm going to this specific address, can they put a tent on their sidewalk? And is it permissible for them to replicate Metro's branding.
We'll check on that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Marcy Goldstein is next.
Good.
Okay. This is a little complaint. If today we didn't get the notification of the meeting until today, if we used to get them a week in advance, if I knew it was in person, I would have made arrangements to come in. Likely, a lot of things that I do is just falling through the cracks. Is there any movement in replacing our position? Because it seems that Maggie is doing two jobs.
I'm sorry, Miss. I will report that to Maggie, and we will make sure to try to do a better job next time at sending it earlier. And yes, we are at a sort of hiring freeze at WMATA at this time. And I believe it will resume around June 15. That's when we will be able to advertise for ADNO's position, unfortunately. Oh. Again, sorry about that. Rico is next.
Hello. I sent some picture. I have a question. Tuesday, Monday, I get a Metro access. So they draw me at the wrong door. I told the driver I'm going to go to 110. With the hospital, Washington Hospital Center, read the buses. So he dropped me in the building 102. Then my return trip, they said no show. I was outside. So I don't understand when you go to, when you tell them the building you're in, they go to the wrong building, 102, 106, and I tell them 110. And I really don't understand. Can someone help me out here? And I sent some pictures about Easy Payfair, where RTA Pan Transit, how when you could use your smartphone to pay the fare. And I sent some pictures because I'm in Cleveland right now. I sent some pictures that what they do here. Thank you.
We can look into it and see the address discrepancies.
Okay.
Sarah is next.
Thanks. This is Sarah. I wanted to report a couple of things from members of the public that were relayed to me. One was an incident on the Metro Rail, and I sent the details in through Barbara, thank you for your assistance. An individual who was from out of town in a wheelchair with a PCA helping him was separated from his PCA because they were getting off of a Metro train onto one of the stations and the doors closed, trapping the PCA on board and the wheelchair user on the platform by themselves. I believe it's being looked at, but just this stuff like this keeps happening where wheelchair users have issues getting on and off, and operators are not able to see them and make some sort of accommodation. So it's something I think we need to keep looking at and see if there's ways to address it. And I know people are trying to look at it, but I want to keep that in the forefront. The other thing is a piece of feedback that I got about the new Pulse app, also from wheelchair users. And in this case, it was people that I don't know at all, who just came up in a conversation. And they were saying that they really didn't like one of the features on there, or a lack of a feature on there. Apparently, in order to find whether elevators are working or not, there is no single landing page to just say which elevators are up or down at the time. You have to go set up a whole trip route and to see whether the elevator that you are going to be using is working or not. And a lot of these people are DC residents that use this all the time, and they don't need to go plot out their whole trip. They just want an easy way to find out which elevators are up or are operational or not operational. So I just wanted to put in a couple plugs for that. Thanks.
Patrick?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tino. There used to be a system where they were sending out elevator alerts. I don't know if that system is still in place. So for individuals who are using it, they'd be able to figure out with a simple text message what elevators were up and down. Elevators were working or not.
Yes, I think that may still exist, but like this is supposed to be the new app telling you everything, and that's just not a feature.
Oh, my transit app?
Yeah, they would like to see.
My transit app?
The Pulse app. I have, because it's very visual, I haven't used it either. So just relaying the info.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, good.
I'm not clear. Do we have a resolution for the problem that Sarah just described? Or did you just air the complaint?
For the Pulse app, I am just passing along that comment because I know that it's relatively new and people are still looking at working on features. Things can be changed over time. So that's a request for people to go and try to look into this. In terms of the other issue with the wheelchair, I don't think there really was a resolution. Eventually, the person in the wheelchair and their PCA were reunited, but obviously that's a pretty scary event, especially if you're from out of town and don't know where you're going.
Yeah. There was another case in which the door wasn't open long enough for the wheelchair user to follow the helper that was attending the wheelchair user. Is this another case like that where the door?
Yeah, it's a separate issue, a separate incident, sort of a variant on this theme of wheelchair users having issues getting on and off the trains or taking a little bit longer and then having some sort of a problem arise.
Well, as I've mentioned in the past and even shown pictures, the Seattle train system has a button. Now, I never used it, but I saw the button and the sign next to it saying, presumably, if you press this button, you can obtain more time to exit the train. I don't know if such a feature will be on the 8000 series, but I'm hoping that we can soon visit the place where the 8000 series is being constructed and bring this to their attention if they've not heard of it before.
Thank you, Tino. I would add to that, I think another option is when people are looking at the platform screen door issue, if there's a way to, you know, before it's even been engineered or purchased or a contract put out, if there's something that can be done to help either, as you said, put some sort of a button on there to alert the the system that somebody's going to need a little extra time, and or if there's ways to direct mobility aid users to doors where it is, or places on the platform where they're going to be more visible. So people are expecting to see them in a certain place, that might be helpful, because oftentimes a wheelchair user just gets missed because if there's a crowd, there's a bunch of people around, people aren't going to see them very easily. So I think there's a number of solutions that could be investigated. I just want to make sure that people are hearing about it, because otherwise these reports just seem to sort of go into a report computer somewhere and not much ever happens.
Right. Well, I've seen a train system that allows for the rider to indicate they need more time. I don't know if any of our series has such a button, but hopefully if there is none on the older systems, there will be one on the 8000 series. Mary, is there any other questioner amongst the public?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I have that it is 5:54. Any further comments by the members or by staff? We have 6 minutes left. If not, if there are no other comments that need to be made, or if no commenter wants to step forward, then I will take an offer to adjourn this meeting. Is there anyone who would move the question of adjourning the meeting now?
Can I say the statement? Adjourn after Miriam gets a chance to give her spiel.
Thank you, sir.
Right, yes. Yes.
We would like to thank the committee members, metro staff, guests, interpreter, and member of the public for their participation this evening. Rico, you have a comment?
No.
Okay. All right. We would like to thank the committee members, metro staff, guests, interpreter, and member of the public for this participation this evening. If you have question, comment, or concern, please send those to metroaacchair@womada.com or by phone 202-962-1100. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, it is 5:56.
Stop now.
What? I'm sorry.
I think Rico was
disregarded. That was Rico's phone. We muted it.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion to adjourn?
Second.
Any objections to the motion to adjourn? If not, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, all. See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. See you next week. Thanks again, Patrick, for persisting in informing the board and the GM that our questions sometimes, and in this case that we talked about,